On the GNM Family Market phone line, it's our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Since we spoke with him last time, he has become the sports director at ABC6. So a big congratulations on that, Nick.
Thank you, Rich. Yeah, it's funny. It's still sitting in the same chair in the office, but feels a little bit bigger, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and following in the footsteps of a legend, one of the great guys in the business, in Ken Bell.
Yeah, and what I really was pleased about this summer is that I think he got the send-off that he deserved from not only our station, but everybody in the market and the business, and it really showed his impact over 35 years at ABC6 and 48 in the business. I mean, a true legend, and I know he's out in Colorado hiking the Rocky Mountains now and enjoying himself, so that's pretty great, too.
Absolutely. Well, gosh, so much going on, Nick. Let's start with the big trade last night, and this, we were saying earlier, maybe Danny Ainge needs to take a job in the government because he knows how to keep a secret.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, you're right about that. It happened so fast, too. I remember I was going into sports in our 6 o'clock show. It was about, 6:20, and I just peeked on Twitter. I said, this is a juicy little rumor, and so I said it at the end of our 6 o'clock newscast. Oh, they're talking about a trade. And you're thinking like, oh, we'll see. You know, they've been talking for a while about a big trade. And then, you know, no less than 2 hours later, there's a press release in my email inbox that says Celtics acquire 4-time All-Star Kyrie Irving. So it happened pretty fast. And it's exciting. I mean, it is exciting. It's the fireworks, I think, that Celtics fans have been waiting for. And I think mixed reaction. But if you're talking to me, if you want my opinion, I love it. Love it, love it, and love it.
Yeah, is there any potential downside in this other than the fact that you've got a whole new roster and maybe some chemistry? I don't know.
Yeah, there's risk in this. There is. There's risk in the trade. You're not gonna, I honestly think right now, matchup wise, Cleveland and Boston, if you're going to the Eastern Conference Finals and you're starting it today in 7 games, I think the Cavs are still going to the finals. I do. I think this makes them. I think Isaiah will. I think he'll do well with LeBron offensively. I think it frees him up a little bit more to do what he does. I think Jay Crowder is a good defender and could help the Cavs if they get back to the finals. I think he'd be good on Kevin Durant. And I think that obviously the big prize for the Cavs is the first round pick. It's unpredicted. It could be number one overall. So, in a scenario where LeBron doesn't leave, stays, and Isaiah stays, and the Cavs get the number one overall pick, I mean, yeah, there's a scenario here where this could blow up in the Celtics, and then Kyrie doesn't re-sign. It's like, okay, well, that blew up in Danny's face. But, a lot of things have to fall that way for that to happen. So I like the deal. The Celtics get the best player in the deal, period. You get the best player in the deal, and that's bottom line. That's why I love it, because I think Kyrie Irving is top 10. He is special, man.
And they've got some roster slots available now to fill. Do they have money?
Yeah, I mean, right now I think this helps them, especially because you had the decision coming. I think that was a big part of this deal, was the decision coming on Isaiah Thomas, and now you don't have to, maybe get Britton and give him the max contract next offseason, so then you're maxed out on Isaiah, Horford, and Hayward. Now you've got a guy in Kyrie Irving who I think is making 18.8 this coming season, and I think the second year, I think he goes to about 20. So that's probably $10 million you wouldn't have had to pay for a max deal, and maybe you go out and get somebody else or get a little bit more help or whatever. And really, too, I think that the big part of this is, yes, the Celtics gave up a lot in this trade, but you keep Jason Tatum, you keep Jaylen Brown, you keep Marcus Smart, and you keep the Lakers pick, which it could be 2 through 5. It could end up being better than the Brooklyn pick.
Right.
That could work out for the Celtics, too. So a lot of things have to fall before we truly evaluate this trade, but getting Kyrie Irving, he's a special player. I'll say it over and over again, and I love it.
We're talking with Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. One guy maybe not happy about the deal last night because it overshadowed probably the game of his career, Doug Fister, with a one-hitter last night that very few people were talking about.
And he doesn't give up that home run, and it's a no-hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, that was crazy. It was a great performance. And ironically, it was in Cleveland, too. So that's, what a night between Boston and Cleveland. But, yeah, that was encouraging, too, because, Fister really, he's going to have to win a few games down the stretch here because really didn't sound like, you know, say what you want about David Price. Maybe he is, you know, throwing off a mound, all this stuff. I mean, by the time he gets around and returns to form or what you want him to be, what's he going to be? So, you know, I think the Red Sox really do need some help in the rotation. And I think if Fister's going to go out there and throw games like that and give you a chance to win, that's a big deal for the rotation, for sure.
Well, and Fister has pitched pretty well historically against the Cleveland Indians, a team they're likely to face in the postseason.
Yeah, he could end up being a 3 or 4 starter in the playoffs, which is crazy. And, you know, I think the starting rotation right now is really coming around. If Fister's going to throw like that, that's gonna help. I think Rick Porcello is returning to that Cy Young-ish form that he's been. I think Chris Sale is Chris Sale. That's pretty obvious. You know what you're getting there. And so, you know, it comes down to, you know, the rest of the rotation. And really the key to the pitching staff is the middle relief and the, you know, the bridge between the starting staff and Craig Kimbrel. Because if you can figure out who is your eighth inning guy right now, you know, it sounds like they got Addison Reed to do that, but you never know with John Farrell. So he keeps mixing and matching. You know, but I think, you know, Reed could be a key there. I think Brandon Workman has shown the ability to get some outs. So, yeah, I think that's the key is the middle relief. But, you know, they're winning games and they're playing hot right now. You know, I think they're, what, 15-3 and in August? I mean, it's pretty good baseball right now for the Red Sox.
Yeah, what you need to do, Nick, is just make sure that Matt Barnes stays there in the state of Rhode Island.
What was my line yesterday? I think I said Barnes away, and I was like, yeah, keep him away. It's like, oh boy. I mean, yeah, and you know, maybe there was something to it. Maybe they put him on the DL. Maybe something was there. But what I don't like is that Farrell just seemed to be in love with him and put him in there time and time again. And it's like, well, wait. Who else do you have in that bullpen that you use? So, I mean, you know, it'll I think force Farrell to find another guy to fall in love with now in the bullpen.
Jackie Bradley Jr. Went on the 10-day DL today with a sprained left thumb. Is this anything that will likely keep him out longer than that 10-day period?
Maybe. You know, it depends on how bad the injury is. You never like those. I mean, yeah, it sounds like, you know, thumb injury, but that's a pretty important, you know, part of your part of you, the player, if you're an outfielder especially, too. So, it's a little awkward, the slide, too. I mean, he got in there, but, you know, hopefully he's not out long-term. If he is, you know, the Red Sox will have to get creative in what they're doing right now. It sounds like they're going to use Brock Holt and use Chris Young out there. It's good to have a guy like Chris Young who could sort of be your fourth outfielder. But, you know, maybe they... Heck, maybe in September, maybe Bryce Brenska. He's had a heck of a season.
Yeah.
Suck it, I'll tell you that. That kid won the AAA Home Run Derby. He's second in the International League in home runs. I mean, maybe that's a guy that fills in if Jackie Bradley, not saying he's Jackie Bradley Jr., but, you know, maybe that's a guy that could help out, especially if Bradley's out long-term.
Now, Nick, I know you're a baseball guy first and foremost, so this is looking way down the road, but where do you come down on the Dodgers team playing so well? I think they got, what, their 89th win last night, but by the time the playoffs roll around, they won't have had a meaningful game for about 3 months. Are they a team that's set up to fail in the postseason because they're going to win this thing so easily in the West?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, when you're hot, you're playing good baseball. You know, it's tough to say, you know, because maybe you do go in there and maybe there's something to be said about not being, like, quote unquote, battle tested. But when you're hot, you're hot. And, you know, sometimes nothing can slow that train down. When you think you are, you know, have all the confidence in the world, then you don't feel like anybody can stop you, no matter who it is, no matter how good a team is. You know, and looking at the National League, I mean, you know, the Cubs have had their struggles this year, you know, defending world champions, but they've had their struggles, and the Washington Nationals, you know, Bryce Harper's been banged up, and, you know, yeah, they got Max Scherzer, who's special, but, you know, it's tough to say. You know, they make it all the way to the World Series. Who knows, too? I mean, you know, if they face Cleveland, maybe, you know, Cleveland's, you know, a great team. They made it to Game 7 last year. I mean, maybe the Red Sox get there, and maybe they feel like they're more battle-tested. Who knows? But when you're hot, you're hot, you know, and the Dodgers really have, it's been unbelievable out there at Chavez Ravine this year. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, 89 wins, that's crazy. Los Angeles Dodgers, that's That's not so. Yeah, tough to say, but there is something to be said about battle tested. So it's a good question.
Patriots getting set for their third exhibition game this Friday night. Does this team have any noticeable weaknesses as they get ready to start the year?
Yeah, I think after the injury to Derek Rivers, you look and you say, well, you know, what can they do in terms of pressuring the quarterback? You know, I think the defensive line, yeah, I think is a question mark. I think if Alan Branch is healthy, I think that shores things up in the middle. I think he's such an underrated part of that defense. But, you know, Dante Hightower just got off the PUP list this week, so it sounds like he's on pace to start the year, but you never know. Maybe something's going on with him. And, you know, you're relatively young on the defensive end. I mean, yeah, Trey Flowers, you know, showed up big in the postseason last year, but, you know, Coney Ealy sounds like he hasn't really been that great, you know, not what everybody expected. So it's, yeah, I'd say the defensive line is something to watch. I think the offense is going to be a juggernaut. I really do. So, yeah, I think I look on the defensive side of the ball, but listen, if they get creative over there, which I think Bill Belichick does, you know, then I think they can make up for it. And hey, if they start the year with a couple of injuries, hey, look out. There's a guy named Trevor Bates. He wears number 44. He played at the University of Maine, and Bill Belichick's been praising him, likes him. He says he's a tough guy, works hard. You know, Bill Belichick says that about everybody. But, you know, I mean, no, I think Trevor, he had the green dot in the second preseason game, so they were trying him out, signal calling, and so, you know, obviously there's some sort of level of trust, or they want to try something out with him. So, you know, maybe they try him out at end. Maybe they put him in the linebacking mix. You know, I mean, you never know. And he could be the next great Patriot that came, you know, from a small school and, you know, came from a place like Maine and worked hard and worked his way into the NFL. So, yeah, it's something to watch. But, yeah, I think the Patriots overall, yeah, they're going to be just fine, I think, going into the season.
All right, it's Nick Coyd of ABC6 in Providence joining us this afternoon. Nick, great talking with you, as always. Enjoy everything going on this weekend, and we'll check back in with you again soon.
Pleasure as always, Rich. Thank you, buddy.
That's Nick Coyd here on Downtown.